250 kwacha or more on an Absa POS with any credit card, debit card, or mobile money wallet, and spin to win essential school supplies. From books to stationery to backpacks or calculators, Bookworld has got it all. And the best part? At the lowest prices. Visit your nearest Bookworld store countrywide. Bookworld, where education is our priority. Terms and conditions apply. Absa, your story matters.
Good morning. The headlines. PF says sympathy vote expected for opposition in Chawama. Government intensifies efforts to capitalize on copper price boom. And in global news, Cambodia extradites alleged scam mastermind to China after arrest. With the 8 hours main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. Patriotic Front Deputy Secretary General in charge of administration, Celestine Mukandila, says a sympathy vote is expected to favor the opposition alliance as voters head to the polls in the Chawama parliamentary by-election next week. Mr. Mukandila has, however, acknowledged the effort the opposition alliance has put into campaigning for its candidate ahead of the polls. He tells Phoenix News that the ruling UPND does not stand a chance of scooping the seat, citing what he described as the mistreatment of former late President Edgar Lungu and his daughter Tasila, who previously held the seat. Mr. Mukandila notes that this has generated public sympathy, which he believes will play a decisive role in the outcome of the election.
Well, of course, the sympathy is expected along with our party. However, it must be noted there's so much groundwork that has been done, and I think the Zambian people are just fed up with the behavior and reactive nature of the UPND government. Yeah, I think we've done what we could. But of course, the machinations of the UPND that we still need to ensure that we strive and just ensure that we protect the vote, as the case may be. But as it stands, I don't think UPND stands any chance.
Government says it anticipated the record high copper prices currently fetching at over $13,000 per ton on the London Metal Exchange and is intensifying efforts to convert the global upswing in copper demand into measurable gains for the economy. Mines and Minerals Development Minister Paul Kavuswe says international and local projections signaled a sustained surge in copper demand driven largely by the green energy transition, prompting government action to scale up production and capture downstream benefits. Mr. Kabuswe has explained to Phoenix News that as a priority, government is reviving idle operations and supporting artisanal and small-scale miners to boost output and broaden participation in the sector. He revealed that government is rolling out targeted interventions to resuscitate suspended mines, improve regulatory frameworks to attract investment, and undertake national geological mapping to identify and prioritize mineral prospects. The minister adds that ongoing engagement with international and local partners aims to sustain momentum and convert the copper price boom into long-term economic growth, delivering greater fiscal receipts through taxes and royalties, stimulating local supplier markets, and creating employment opportunities.
Knew the projections on how the copper prices will change, and that is why we have pushed for more production within the sector. So whatever we are doing, and we had information, projection, you know, from various international organizations, local organizations, that there will be this surge because of the demand for copper in the green energy transition. We saw that projection, and that's why we have said we revive the mines, because this surge in prices will actually continue according to the projections that we've been given. That's why we have gone on a path to resuscitate mines, to encourage even small-scale local miners to produce even more so that they take advantage, more profitability to the mines, but of course more taxes to us and more value to our economy.
Ministry of Energy Permanent Secretary for Electricity, Arnold Simwaba, says the improved power supply in various households is due to rains and imported power from other countries. Engineer Simwaba explains that the recent relief in load shedding is due to rising water levels in hydropower reservoirs, allowing more water to be released for electricity production. He has also attributed the improved supply to reduced on-farm electricity consumption, as commercial farmers have shifted to rain-fed operations. In an interview with Phoenix News, Engineer Simwaba notes that imported power is filling remaining shortfalls, but supplies vary and are subject to availability, transmission constraints, and commercial arrangements negotiated by ZESCO. Engineer Simwaba, however, said improved supply is dependent on continued rainfall, reliability of regional supplies, and that monitoring and operational adjustments will continue with government focus on alternative and reliable sources of electricity.
The commercial farmers, we are not supposed to load shed them. Imagine there was no power, there was no food. How was it going to be? So what we wanted is, let the irrigation continue. So meaning those with center pivots and whatever, they needed power supply, of which we never used to load shed the farmers. No. Because of the rainy season, what has happened is, they have cut off generation using their center pivots. They are using the rain fed. Now, because of the power that used to go there, that power now is offloaded to the general public. Over and above that, there are industries that have gone on break. The power that used to go to those industries, to run the industries as well, is now offloaded to where? To the residential customers like you and me. So now, because these are measures, we are not yet there to say our dams are now safe that we can just thoroughly get power from our generation, no.
The Southern Africa Resource Watch, SARW, is calling on government to establish a coordinated interface of policies and legislation that prioritizes environmental rights protection. Programs Officer Edward Lange says harmonized legal and policy frameworks are critical to addressing environmental challenges arising from activities within the extractive sector. In an interview, Mr. Lange recommends the creation of a permanent interministerial unit bringing together all line ministries involved in the mineral value chain to enhance coordination, accountability, and effective oversight of mining operations across the country. Mr. Lange emphasizes that with proper coordination mechanisms in place, environmental monitoring would be conducted regularly, ensuring consistent enforcement of regulations and reducing the risk of environmental degradation. He's calling on government to scale up environmental, social, and governance elements within the mining sector, guaranteeing compliance through proactive measures rather than reactive responses after disasters. He was reacting to findings from Applied Science and Technology Associates, which in its report on pollution impacts linked to sino metals, recommended strengthened interdepartmental collaboration aimed at improving environmental compliance among mining firms.
There's need for a permanent interministerial unit that should be created from all the interested, you know, or the line ministries that have a role to play in the mineral value chain. Also, government needs to scale up its ESG components in all its policies, the environment, social, and governance.
In global news, Cambodia says it has extradited to China a billionaire businessman accused of masterminding a vast cryptocurrency scam in which trafficked workers were lured to forced labor camps to defraud victims globally. Chen Zhi was among three Chinese nationals arrested on the 6th of January after a joint investigation into transnational crime lasting several months, Cambodia said. The U.S. charged the 37-year-old, who was born in Southeast China last October, with running internet scams from Cambodia that it said had stolen billions in cryptocurrency. We monitor the BBC for more in other global stories.
There's been an angry reaction in the U.S. state of Minnesota to the shooting dead of a 37-year-old woman by a federal immigration agent in the city of Minneapolis. There have been demonstrations there against the killing of Renee Good, reportedly a U.S. citizen. Video shows she was shot as she drove off when ICE agents were trying to stop her. Local officials have rejected out-of-hand descriptions by Trump administration officials that the shooting was in self-defense. Ukraine's energy minister says Russian attacks have left two southeastern regions almost entirely without power. Local media have also reported water supplies being cut and the metro being halted in the city of Dnipro. President Trump has said Venezuela has agreed to use the